Wind must have blew me over there. I don't know. Sorry about that. Exodus 33 tonight, if you got your Bibles with you. Exodus right after Genesis there. Exodus 33. Good to see each one here tonight. Sad to see those I don't see. But I feel that way every service. I don't know. It seems like every time I say something, I come to church, somebody misses. Now, I hope you know that's not my intention. I'm not trying to just make you feel bad and run. I love you. And if I love you, I care about you. And also, if I love you, I like you. Right? I want you around if I actually love you. I don't want you far away. And God loved us so much, He made sure we never have to get away. Thank you, Lord. I think that's wonderful. Yeah. Exodus 33. Let's just read at verse 12 there. A little bit of reading, but. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, but thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. And thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God ain't there, I ain't going.
That's right.
For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Something very important right there. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and he will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Talking about going back to the originals here. I'm going to get that down. I'd like to take a topic tonight. Who can see God? Who can see God? Let's bow our heads tonight. If you have a need you'd like to lift up, raise your hand and say, Lord, you know my heart. Speak to me tonight. God bless each one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, you've made a way for us to be here. And by faith, we believe this is a predestinated moment, Father, that you have something you want to accomplish tonight in everyone's life that's here. We pray, Lord, that we'll forget about everything else and not focus our attentions on the distractions of this world and on the obligations even that we might need to do tomorrow or maybe later tonight. But right now, Father, may our minds be clear of everything else. May our hearts not ponder on anything but the Word of God. That you could come, Lord, and feed our souls with manna from heaven. That you could show us your presence once more. And just give us a reassurance of who we are in you, Lord, and how much you love us. We come also, Lord, to bless your name, to lift you up, to express how much we love you as well. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Hear every heart that was here, that's here tonight, Lord, and those that couldn't. I pray, Father, that you that know the hearts, would you just divvy up your word as needed tonight and feed every hungry soul that's here. Save the lost, Lord. Fill those that are empty and heal those that are sick, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Anymore when I've been coming up to the pulpit, it's one of those things where right before I go up there, I'm thinking, man, I got to go up there and preach. Is this really going on right now? And then you get up here and, you know, well, what am I going to say? You know, and you got notes and things, but that's not the way you preach. That's not the way you do things when you're a Christian. The gift is getting out of the way. And, you know, we call it the trick of being a Christian is really not being in the flesh, but being in the spirit and yielding to what God has put in you. And to the world, they don't know what you're talking about. There's no way to explain it in carnal terms. You know, you think, Brother Andrew, are you two people? Well, in one way, I am. In another way, I'm not. I'm just, yes, I've got a flesh, and it's got desires. It's got things. It's got the worldly spirit that I had, it gives me thoughts. But I've got another spirit, that's been joined unto the Lord, and that only thinks pure and holy and righteous. And I've got a white dog in there somewhere and a black dog. You got that angel on the one shoulder and the devil on the other one, and that ain't too far-fetched now. There's a lot of truth to that. Well, which one wins? They told the old engine chief, you know the story. He said, I got a white dog, black dog. Once he became a Christian, he said, how you doing, chief? Well, I got a white dog, black dog. They said, well, chief, which one wins? And chief said, the one I feed the most. And that's the way it is. And if you'll be honest with yourselves, which is a real hard thing to do in this age, I tell you what, if there's one person people lie to, it's themselves. You know, I was talking to a student today, and he was talking about how he tried, and I know I talk about this stuff a lot, but just bear with me now, how he tried on something. He tried on this homework, and I said, well, I didn't see you doing it in class. He's like, well, I didn't do it. I said, well, you didn't ask me any questions while you're in class. He said, well, I just didn't do that. I said, well, I asked for questions before we turned it in. You didn't ask nothing then either. What's your definition of trying? Because it's different than mine. I'll tell you that right now. And he lifts weights. And the Lord kind of gave this to me. I said, hey, listen for a minute. I wish you'd critique your math work like you do your gym workouts. What if we went to the gym, you and me? We saw one of them elderly fellas, you know, that spend 4 hours in the gym and lift about four weights. You go to the gym, you know what? They'll talk your ear off. We'll say that and move it a few times, go talk to you for another hour. You know, they got nowhere to be. That's all right. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But if we saw some man in the gym, and yeah, he might get up there and lift a bit of weights and stuff, but then you notice that he's got a candy bar on him. And he's sitting there chomping on that candy bar. Then he gets done with that, and he just, you know, he's like, well, I'll just lay down for a little bit. I need a nap. And take a nap there on the floor. And then he gets up after a while. He's in a gym now. So, you know, he's obviously got to be working out, right?
Right.
Would you say that he was really trying to lose weight?
No.
So, well, no, of course not. Well, now, look, let's bring it to the house of God. You might be in a church tonight. You might have brought a Bible. You might have some nice clothes on. But if you didn't come prepared in the Spirit, out of your flesh, not thinking of the things of the world, but done some groundwork before you got here. Oh my, did somebody get a little rebuke there or something? Because they got real quiet, real fast. How many came to have church tonight?
Amen.
Amen, right? If you wanted to go have some social gathering, might we just go out, let's go to Wendy's. That's all fine, but we're in the house of God for a purpose. This is a battleground. This is a place to wage war against the devil and watch him scurry about like the little wimp that he is. That's right. You know, I see that the main thing is what Jesus said when he comes back to earth. He says, what am I looking for that I'm never going to be able to find hardly? Is can I find faith?
Yeah.
And that's where you find people fall apart. People that can't seem to make it to church. What happens? You lose faith in church. You lose faith in the Word of God because the Word of God told you to do it.
Right.
And you begin to lose faith and say, well, it ain't no reason. Well, if you disobey the Word, I'm telling you right now, there's a reason because you're going to reap for that.
Right.
And there's more than just missing church. There's not reading your Bible every day.
Right.
You don't do it, it's because you lack faith. That's
right.
Why.
Right.
Because you don't realize what this book will do.
Right.
It won't do nothing without faith.
Right.
Now,
right.
That's the difference.
Right.
If you don't have faith, you'll never touch it because you know it'll just condemn you.
Yeah.
It'll just make you feel bad.
Right.
It'll make you go cry and think, man, I ain't nothing. I ain't no good. And that's true. But Christ has done something for us.
Right.
And if you can get faith, and then read the Word, you won't hear that part.
Right.
Because that's all in the blood.
Yeah.
You'll hear Jesus Christ loves me.
Yeah.
And He died for me. And not only that, but I'm a benefactor.
Yeah.
I've got rights. I've got an inheritance.
Yes.
I don't have to be sick today. The power of God's laying right here in this
right.
Word. He's still the Lord that heals my infirmities.
Yeah.
And I've got faith and I can read and pull that promise out
yes.
And it becomes alive in me.
Yeah. Amen.
That's the way to approach the Word of God. But that's why I've been hitting on faith so much. We just talked about last service. You've got to approach God in faith. That what God has said is true. And that He doesn't lie. When He says, seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. You've got to believe that. Or you can pray all day. What you call prayer. Because you ain't really praying. You're really praying. God answers on the other end.
Amen.
If you didn't hear from God, that's your fault. I've had many people, students a lot of times, say, why do you believe in God and smock and do all these things? Like, I prayed one time, God never answered me. And there ain't no reason to talk to somebody like that because they don't know what faith is from ground zero.
Right.
There's nowhere to even start with an attitude like that because that's why Brother Branham tells us, but the Bible does too. We had to get a new spirit first. Because until you've got a new spirit, something for God to work with, there's nothing good about it. If you're all black, there ain't no way you're going to make this white. You need to get rid of that. You need to get the black out. You need to get something we can work with. We get something that we can put in some bleach. And get it turned white. Because you're not just black, you're chained to this table black, and you ain't going nowhere until the grace of God comes.
Yes.
And it gives you a new spirit enough to just jump off into the Master's hand.
Amen.
And let Him go take you and dunk you in the Word of God and change you on the way up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who can see God? Many people, like we just said there a minute ago, they think that God should work on their terms, and that's where you prove that you don't have faith in the first place. He that has faith, you have to believe when you come to God, first that He exists. I'm sorry, you want to say God should do this, then I'll believe Him. That's not the way God runs His program. God says it, you have to believe it, or you'll never see it.
Right?
You say, well, that's not fair. Did you make this earth? Did you make this body you're living in? Did you make everything that's here? Did you fashion it so that we could live here? Then quit being ungrateful and appreciate what God's done and realize that He did it this way for a reason.
Amen.
And we got no business questioning God how to do things.
That's right.
We've got one thing to say to the Word of God. I got one word for you. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said, let your yeas be yea, let your nays be nay. Anything more than this, that's where evil comes from. Why? Because if you can find black and white and keep it that way, you'll choose the white and refuse the black. But if Satan can make it a little gray, where you don't really notice that there's black in it anymore, you get it kind of close, not even gray, but bring it all the way over here to just a slight off white. That's when he deceives people, don't he? That's when he gets us. Most of y'all don't, if you've been a Christian, you've been changed by the power of God, you probably don't deal with having to worry about cussing or drinking or smoking, but he don't work that way no more. He knows that you recognize that's black.
Right.
And you stay away.
Yeah.
But, you know, brother so-and-so, he raises his hands a little bit different than I do.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of trying to show off, actually, with how loud he says amen. You act like these spirits aren't in churches. They're all over the place. That's the problem. That's why we don't get nowhere.
Right.
Instead of us coming to the house of God, and what does that matter anyways? What are you going to do? Somebody give me an argument to tell somebody how to worship.
Amen.
The main thing is worship.
Yeah.
That's the problem I see. It's not how we worship. It's that you just can't get people to even worship in the first place.
Right.
If you love God, you'll worship.
Yes.
Why? Because you're in love. If I love my wife, I'm going to do certain things automatically.
Right.
If she needs some food, guess what? I'll be there getting it for her. If she wants a new whatever it is, it doesn't matter, fill in the blank, I'll be getting it here sooner than later. Now, that's not because I have to. And if it was, I'm a miserable wretch of a husband. I'll tell you that much. I better do it because I love her or I got no business doing it. And when you serve God, listen to me now. Come on now. We don't serve God as a taskmaster. We serve Him as a love slave.
Amen.
I read my Bible because I want to. And I enjoy it and I love it because I believe it's God. I believe that it's not just, we just read the story of Moses. I don't read this as just some fictional history thing, or even a real history. That's
right.
Fine. I'm here to pull something out of it that can live in me today.
Amen.
Because this is the Word of God.
Yes.
It never started.
Right.
It never ends.
Right.
And it's always applicable.
Amen.
So we go to our passage here. Who can see God? And here's Moses. And we know that the Bible spoke very highly of Moses. He was a man that God said, look, I talked to some prophets and dark sayings and visions and things like that. But Moses ain't that way. I go right up to Moses and I speak face to face when I talk to him. Yeah, we can find plenty of times, and I'm going to kind of jump around here. Hopefully we'll get to a point, Lord help me, that no, the Bible says no man has seen God at any time.
Right.
And that we just read it here where God said, you can't see me because then you'll die. But for some reason, he kind of seemed to make an exception all of a sudden. He said, no man can see me, but you'll die. But here, let me kind of work a deal out with you, Noah. Or not Noah, sorry. Glad you didn't say amen there. Moses, let me talk to you, Moses. Why? Moses had something different than just a normal man. He was a son of God.
Right.
See, this is what you got to learn to dissect who you really are. I understand that right now we're living in a temporal body, a physical body, but that is not the identification of a Christian.
Right.
You are an offspring of the Almighty.
Yes.
And if you're really His child, why doesn't He want to see you?
Right.
course he wants to see you.
Amen.
And he wanted Moses to see him. Sure did. But under the dispensation that he was in, we understand that the atonement was to come thousands of years later. And but God still let him. He said, I'll let you see my backside.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I don't think it was the backside of an octopus or of some weird creature or something. I believe it was the backside of a man.
Right.
Because we were made in the image of God, and we are men. So God ought to look like us, if we look like Him. Does that make sense? It's the same, sometimes we talk about the seed went to the ground at Pentecost, we understand, or in the Dark Ages, and died, and it came up as a leaf. The leaf's not the same as the seed. How many knows that? Then after that, you got a tassel that'll grow, and that's not the same as the leaf. But yet the life of the seed is in all of that. It's all the same life. You have to call it by the same name, but you understand that it's a different dispensation of that plant.
Right.
Well, then it gets up to a thing called the shuck, which is the carrier of the seed. It protects the seed, but it looks an awful lot like the seed. And that shuck spoke in tongues.
Yeah.
That shuck prophesied. That shuck healed the sick. That shuck raised the dead. So if the shuck looks like the seed, then if we really got the seed, it ought to have some resemblance to that.
Right.
See what I'm saying? We get a little too revelated sometimes and forget where we came from.
Right.
Pentecost is for the bride.
Amen.
They had, in the days of the Pentecostals, we know in the early 1900s, and even they're still here, just like Lutherans and everything else, but their outpouring is over.
Yeah.
It's moved into the bride.
Sure.
But she will have that plus the truth.
Amen.
Which means it should happen more often.
Right.
It should hit right on.
Right.
Not this kind of wishy-washy stuff. But right, thus saith the Lord, it happens just that way.
Amen.
That's the inheritance of the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who can see God? And here's Moses. He's in a troubling time, and he goes up to God, and he's having a good old prayer meeting with him. And I think that's where we miss the blessing right there. We don't get to step one. God wants me to talk to him individually? Yes, sir. That's actually the only way God really speaks to us. Is you've got to recognize that even if he speaks through a minister, that it's not that brother speaking to you. It's the Holy Spirit trying to get that attention of you and to help you out. And when the Word of God touches you and tears you to pieces, that's not because he hates you. It's because he loves you.
Amen.
Because he knows that sin will kill you, and we've got to get rid of that problem.
Right.
And he took care of it for us.
Amen.
He gave us the blood, and if we'll just put our faith in it, it'll destroy the works of the enemy every time. And Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. You could tell Moses had a relationship with God because he was willing to talk to God like he would anyone else.
Amen.
If your boss came up to you and said to do this job, and then you looked around and said, you know what? I can't really build this wall. I don't got the supplies I was supposed to have. Where are they at, boss?
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't have no problems. You got a good relationship. You go talk to him about it because you want to get the job done.
Right.
Moses did the same thing because he knew who he was talking to.
Right.
That's the problem with too many people who proclaim to be Christians is they've never met Christ.
Amen.
He's just a book that stands on the shelf and, oh my, they'll reverence that or they'll reverence some picture or cross or something. But he's more than that.
Amen.
He is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That is the Spirit of God.
Yes,
that is his presence that comes and that we need everywhere.
Yes.
Every Christian does. And until we get to that point where we believe that's who Christ is, there's no benefits in this. The same word that would help you is actually going to condemn you. The same water that flowed in the ark is what destroyed the rest of the world.
Amen.
Amen. So he says, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom that will send with me. How am I going to do this, Lord? Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name.
Mm-hmm.
Means he was telling God, wait a minute, God, wait a minute. You told me
that
you knew me by name.
Right.
You told me I found grace in your sight. What's up with this? Now, he didn't have a bad attitude about it. That's the other thing.
Right.
He said it honestly out of a pure heart.
Right.
He said, God, look, I'm just assessing the situation here. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And you can be honest with God, and that's probably what you need to do, is really just tell your problem in an honest fashion.
Yeah.
Lord, I've tried to overcome this. What's wrong?
Right.
I believe your word. I believe it's right here. You said you knew me by name. I mean, knows that.
Amen.
That promise is more to you than it was to Moses.
Yeah.
Because we have his same name.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I know thee by name. And I found grace in thy sight. He says, now therefore, this is Moses speaking. I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, Then there should be some evidence to this. And here's what I want, God. If I found grace in your sight, show me your way. Why? Because I believe you're God.
Yeah.
And I believe whatever way you would show me that's your way, it's got to be the best way. And I'm glad Jesus came to earth to show us what the way was. And it wasn't a 50-page document. It was one line. I am the way.
Yeah.
And he made it real simple.
Yeah.
And that is greatness. Simplicity is just so great, isn't it? When you can just break something that looks so hard and just break it down and realize, oh, that's all this is? Yes, sir, and the gospel is the same way. People, you know, people that haven't spoken tongues before, my, they go to a brother that has. And I know because I've been there. And they, oh, brother, how do you do it? And they think there's some kind of trick. That's the trick. There isn't one. There isn't one. You know how you do it? You get out of the way and you let God do it. That's how do you preach, brother? What's the trick? How do you study? To be honest with you, God forbid if this hurts anybody's faith, I don't have a lot of time to study like I'd want to, but that's not how you preach a sermon anyhow.
Right.
People think, and it's in the message more than anywhere else, you got to study for hours and hours and hours and make sure. You know how many times Brother Branham said, well, I heard I had to preach today, I didn't know that, so I pulled out some old notes I found and scribbled down something and drew this picture and I'm going to preach today. Why? He wasn't trusting in himself.
That's right.
We should study to show ourselves approved. Absolutely. A Christian ought to know the Bible. Just because you know the Bible doesn't make you a Pharisee, okay?
Right.
Jesus knew the Word better than they did.
Yes, sir.
Why? He was.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with knowing the Word, but you need to know the author first.
Amen.
Then you can start reading the Word.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Moses is standing here. If I found grace in thy sight, show me thy way that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. What was his real desire? His Lord. I'm grateful you know my name, but I want to know yours.
What?
That shows you're in love, don't it? When you want to know more about the other person. He wasn't saying it so much for himself even. Even when he wanted to know what to do. What was Moses' heart desire? For the children of Israel.
Right.
For his nation that he had backslid on for 40 years.
That's right.
And he knew he should have delivered them, and he made a mess of things and everything. And when he came back, he saw, that's what even moved on his heart. He saw his brother out there in the slime pits.
Right.
Too bad now we don't got a revelation of what that is. You want to know what the slime pits look like in this age? Slaves. Hey, would you like fries with that? The what? What was that? That's the age we live in. People walking around. They have these things about zombies and things. What are they doing?
Yeah.
There's zombies all over the
right.
place.
Right. Yeah.
There's plenty of people you say hi and they don't even move.
Right.
Hey, I'm talking to you right there. Why? Because they're in a different world.
Yeah.
They've
right.
lost their mind.
Yes.
The virtual world, I hate to break to anybody here, is not the real world.
Right.
And it's definitely not heaven.
Amen.
Heaven's a dimension way past
Amen.
All that nonsense. Now, I believe that stuff's true now. I believe they get their inspiration from somewhere. There ain't no man who got an inspiration of himself. It either came from heaven or it came from hell.
Right.
And if we would make that our absolute, we quit playing this middle game.
Right.
If it's the devil, get rid of it.
Yeah.
If it's of God, eat it down.
Yeah.
Free sermon again. Praise the Lord. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. That needs to be our desire. Is God, if I can't see you, now, I ain't talking just naturally now. I mean in by faith. Lord, if I don't see you in this, if I don't see you in this job I want to take, Lord, don't let me go that way.
Right.
If I can't see you in this house I want to buy, Lord, don't let me go that way.
Amen.
If I can't see you in this car I want, Lord, don't let me go that way.
Right.
If young man, if Lord, you can't go with me to that girl over there, don't let me go that way.
Right.
Hallelujah. Whatever it might be, we could bring it right on down the line. But if you can't see God in it, stay away, Christian.
Amen.
Why? Because if His presence don't go with you, I'm telling you right now, you're only in one other person's presence.
Right.
And that's
right.
the devil.
Right.
Amen. We've said before, I'm going to say it again. He don't love you.
Right.
Amen. He not only doesn't love you, He hates you.
Right.
He hates you worse than any hatred you've ever heard of. Because He's the very source of all of it.
Yeah.
God doesn't hate like that. God hates because He can't express His love like He wants to.
Right.
He hates sin because what does it do? Separates His children from Him.
Amen.
Not because He hates the sinners. He's done everything in the world to try to save the sinner. And the sinner won't listen to Him.
Amen.
The Lord said, excuse me. God help me tonight. For wherein, verse 16, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Moses was looking for one thing, and I pray we're doing the same. Is, Lord, how do we know we're in your grace? It's because your presence goes with us.
Amen, right? Amen.
It's not some floating thing that comes and goes and comes and goes. It's an anointing that abides.
Amen.
That it stays with me. And this is why I hope this is fine too. I don't believe in being this, you know, hands-on into everyone's life kind of pastor that most people want to be. That's what most people want pastors to be. Look, I don't believe in that because I'm a man. I can't help you anyways.
Amen.
And as a Christian, I hope you're a Christian too. I'd much rather you be at your home on your knees praying for me than calling me up and talking for 5 hours about how bad things are.
Right.
I ain't interested in that. I'd rather you give me 5 minutes of prayer than 5 hours of wasting my time.
Right.
But without faith, you won't want that.
Right.
People that don't have faith, they become leeches.
Uh-huh.
They need people's attention to keep them on fire with God. They need people to talk about the word for them because they can't do it themselves.
Sure.
Goes to show there's something lacking on the inside.
Amen.
There's something that ain't there because you're putting on Christianity. It's some kind of fake thing. It's like my t-shirt here. Right now, look, I got a green shirt on, but I'm not green.
Uh-huh.
It's just the shirt I got on. Beyond this, I'm a human being. You see, we've got to identify with the Word of God that's really who I am. Not the shirt I'm putting on. It's beyond that.
Right.
It's not the flesh body I live in. It's the soul that loves God.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Who I am.
Amen.
And once you've received the Holy Ghost, you don't got to wait and say, where is God? God that was in you from the foundation of the world is quickened.
Yes.
And that seed that laid there dormant for maybe years and years and years. I don't care if you're 80 years old. If you got the littlest desire to serve God, there's a God to meet you and to quicken that seed and to bring it to life. You might be an 11th hour worker and only work for 1 hour, but according to Jesus' own work, you got the same reward as anyone else. And any Christian should have the same attitude. I don't care if somebody gets saved today, I want them to.
Amen.
Because I've got no pride that I've served God 10 years or whatever it is. I don't know. 19, so 9 years. There you go. Be 10 here in a little while. Don't matter, does
right.
it? Doesn't matter. I just want people to make it.
Amen.
But how are we going to do it? You can't just witness off left and right every soul way you want to. It's led by the Spirit.
Amen.
If God's not there, you're casting pearls before swine and you'll waste your time.
Right.
I've invested many times in Bible studies and you know, I don't know how to, but just bothering people, really, that didn't want to hear nothing about it. And I hate to break it to you, you need to quit doing that. Because if God's in it, He works on both ends.
Yeah. That's right.
Because if there's something in you really calling there's got to be something there pulling from. And this really throws out atheism right there. Because how many believes that almost every human being is obsessed with purpose?
Uh-huh.
They've all got some kind of hope, right? That there's a reason they exist in things. If the universe wasn't formed by somebody who believed in purpose and it was just by random chance, how did the universe create something that never existed? Does that make sense? There was never a purpose. Then how in the world that through this random process we've got these beings here? And there's only one kind, humans, who are obsessed with knowing purpose. It goes to show, this isn't just some random haphazard thing that happened. There's a God who had a plan. And when He framed the earth, you know what was on His mind? You.
Amen.
When He put the stars where they went to, just huge stars, things you can't even imagine, because He knew all these light years away, it'll affect the earth just this little bit, but I gotta have it just right.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
I believe every one of those stars has one purpose.
Yeah.
This place right here.
Amen.
In the beginning, it says God created the heavens. Doesn't say Jupiter. Doesn't say the Milky White Way. The heavens and the earth.
That's right.
Because the earth was a special place.
Yeah.
When He began to frame it with His hands over the all of space, He had one intention. I want to make a house for my bride.
Yes.
What kind of man that's in love with a woman don't want to see her?
Yep.
People say, I can't see God. I can't know God. The Bible told me I can't.
Yep.
Let's look it up, if that's okay tonight. John, St. John, chapter 1, verse 18. try to teach here for a little bit, and we'll bring it all together, Lord willing. John 1, and I just want to read verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Okay? And for many times I used to think, well, must be big old Papa God up here somewhere. And then somehow, I don't know how this worked, but He made Him the Son here. And you can't know this man. For some reason you can know this man, and we'll get to it in a minute. And if I know this man, the Bible says I know this man. And the Bible says I can't know this first man without knowing this man. How does that work? And then the Bible tells me, wait a minute, I can't even see this man. And yet, this man down here told me that I not only have known this man, but I've already seen him.
Right.
You think I'm making this up? I'll give you all the scriptures. Here we go. John 6:45. A few chapters over there. Remember, this is all recorded. If you don't catch it right away, that's fine. Go back and listen and look for it. John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. This is Jesus speaking now. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he. Oh wait. He just made an exception. Come on now. No man's seen the Father, except, that's what saved means. Except, wait a minute, let me talk about a special class of people. Except he, which is of God. Uh-huh. He hath seen the Father.
What?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, now it all comes together. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Why did he say that right after? Before we thought, oh, he's on a new topic, right? Oh, and you believe him. This all comes together. Jesus, Just going to read. Turn to 14 now. Chapter 14. And Philip hits this right at the root of what most people think of God. Actually, let me turn there to you. I want to go up a little bit higher than what I've got here. John 14. And let's just start at verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Present, past tense. You've seen this man. You've seen this God. Now look, they thought they hadn't.
Uh-huh.
Many people think they haven't seen God. And yet he's been right in front of them the whole time. How many people do you think knew that Jesus Christ was God, Emmanuel, God made flesh walking there when he was on earth? If they really knew that, why did the whole nation want him dead?
Right.
Yes.
Goes to show they had no idea who that man was walking the shores of Galilee. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. See, he's still got the picture separated.
Uh-huh.
He said, wait a minute. You said we've seen him, so I believe you, Jesus, intellectually. I believe that you ain't going to lie to me, Jesus. You're going to tell me the truth. I want to see him then. Where have I seen him? Because obviously I missed it somewhere.
What?
Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. We just read it earlier that no man has seen God at any time, yet the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. Why? Christ is the very heart of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to prove it to you one more. Go to Revelation 5. Hallelujah. God help us. Pour out Revelation tonight. Revelation 5, because I can't make you see this. It takes the Spirit of God. I've read it to you. You know it's the truth because it's the Word. But it takes the Spirit to quicken that and change our lives. Revelation chapter 5. I think everybody's just about there. Revelation 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. So let me just stop there. There's a man sitting on the throne and he's got a book in his hand. Go to Revelation 4 for a minute. Verse 1. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and 2, 3, 1 sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne. And I think everybody could say that was God sitting on the throne. By himself. One man. And go back to 5, verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven. Look, he was looking for a man, not an angel.
Right.
He was looking for a man somewhere. He wasn't even, and don't get too carried away here, but he wasn't even looking for a God. He needed a man. He needed someone who's walked in flesh, who's felt the effects of sin, and yet never gave in.
Amen.
No man in heaven, nor on the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. No man has seen God at any time. This book is the same thing as what Jesus... It's the revelation of God.
Right.
It was hidden, but it was revealed to those who were always already in there.
Yes.
And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book, or to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I believe before this, here was John's problem. He saw the one sitting on the throne, and for some reason the angel was proclaiming that someone needs to take the book, but he just said, well, that one on the throne, he's already got the book. So he began to look around, and they searched through heaven. I can't find a man. I mean, I see Moses, but I know he smote the rock twice. And I see David, but I know he committed adultery. And they looked all through heaven, couldn't find nobody. He went down to earth, and he saw Caiaphas and their hypocrisy and everything else. And saw all these men, and there were some good men.
Sure.
But they'd make mistakes. They had thought wrong things. They had sinned. And he couldn't find anybody, so he said, Well, who knows? Maybe he's in hell. I'm running out of choices. And he said, Oh, there's no man down there either. And they looked everywhere, couldn't find nobody. Then the angel says, Oh, John, don't even cry. Why are you crying? There ain't nothing to cry about. Lie of the tribe of Judah. The root and offspring of David. He's actually already did this.
Yeah.
He already actually took care of it.
Yeah.
And he did it for the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Verse 6. Why couldn't he find him? And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. Look, the Bible says what it does on purpose. There's only one in the throne.
Right.
In the midst. The very heart.
Yeah.
Came out an expression of God. Not just as we think of a God as invincible and never have to, but God made flesh, stepped out as the sacrifice. He was born of a virgin. He's created. He's circumcised. He went through everything like any other man did. Hallelujah. Yet he said, I came from God. I came out of that expression. I know where I've been. I came out of there. Why? Me and the Father's one.
Amen.
You think I'm not God. I'm here. The only reason I'm talking this way is because I'm a human right now.
Uh-huh.
I want you to understand that I'm only here for one purpose. To die.
Yeah.
So he had God. He couldn't find a man worthy, so he had to step into his own judgment. Because nobody else could do it.
Right. Amen.
Because we should have.
Right.
If God was really going to be just like we want him to be on everyone else.
Right.
When we sin, we're supposed to die.
Right.
But this God said, no. I'll take it myself.
Right.
And out of the midst of out of God's own heart, he expressed himself as a human.
Uh-huh.
Born in Israel. The lowest of the low. So poor he couldn't offer the offering he was supposed to,
that's
the parents. His foster parents couldn't offer the land. They had to offer two turtle doves because they were poor.
That's right.
He grew up. Who believed the virgin birth? Come on, they didn't believe that.
Come on.
And in that day, they wouldn't have accepted some bastard child born out of wedlock.
Right. Right.
No, sir. That would have been you'd have been outcast, and he was, because they didn't believe in what he said.
That's right.
It took Joseph a dream from God himself for him to finally believe it.
That's right.
Why? Because women don't have children virginally. It's not something that happens every other day. But if you'll take your reasoning and throw it in the trash and realize that the Word of God said, a virgin shall conceive.
That's right.
And not only that, he'll have certain names.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let's go there. You're getting a total... Go thank God tonight. Say, Lord, I thank you for that sermon, because Brother Andrew didn't have nothing to do with that. Isaiah 9. Still on this first page here, but that's okay. Isaiah chapter 9, right there toward the middle, right before... Right around Psalms, Isaiah 9. Excuse me. No. Isaiah 9, let's look at verse 6. Actually, can we just read verse 2 real quick? The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. In 1 John 1:1, go through that scripture right there, John 1, and read John 1, and then remember this scripture, this promise. He says, the light is the life of men.
Amen.
Why? Speaking of this man.
Uh-huh.
And in him was other attributes of God,
right,
which are here tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Light has shined. Go down to verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful.
Wow.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Isn't he wonderful?
Yes.
Counselor. Mighty smart, isn't he? He just knows what to tell you, when to tell you, how to tell you. Not only does he give you the right information, but he knows how to get it across to you so you understand and do the right thing. The mighty God. The son that's born, the Bible said he is the, not an A, the mighty God. And it goes a little further. The everlasting Father. And people get in a tizzy when you tell them that the Son and the Father is the same person. When the Bible said his name, the Son, it said that earlier, a Son is given to us, but his name shall be called the everlasting Father. Why? That little frail body you see on there on Calvary wasn't God as the immortal. It was God made flesh.
Yeah.
God made himself immortal because he can. He's God.
Amen.
This thing, we got to get a revelation. God poured on us of who he is.
Amen.
This isn't just some Joe Schmo that can't do what he wants. If God wants to be made flesh, he can make himself flesh.
Right.
And when you realize that he not only wanted to, but he did it because it was for you.
Amen.
How much we ought to appreciate
you.
How much it should not be hard to raise our hands and say, Lord, praise your name for what you've done for me. Hallelujah. Philip said, show us the Father, it suffices. Jesus said, have I been so long? And I believe he's saying the same thing in this age. Have not I poured out my word? Have not I shown myself in signs and wonders and done things right here in Defiance, Ohio, that you know wasn't Brother Andrew standing up there? It was me. And yet you say you haven't seen the Father? I've been here the whole time. Philip. God help us not be Philip's. Help us to be John's. We just believe it. Can't explain it. Still believe it. I believe it so much, Peter, I'm going to beat you to the grave because he ain't there no more.
Amen.
Right.
He told me. He told me I'm going to see the coming. And I believe that. I believe John believed. And I believe we believe that too.
Yes. Amen.
I know some people think, oh, don't tell him you're going to be translated because you might die. I don't care. Because one way or another, in my flesh, I shall see God. Even if my bones are down there rotten, I don't care. The spirit that lives in my soul will call that body back up and say, stand up, boy, we're going to glory.
Amen.
That's right. You live in a body, that don't make you the body now. Hallelujah. It's just where you live. One more here. Matthew 11. And then we'll see if we can bring this together somehow. Matthew 11:25. enjoying the word tonight.
Amen.
The word is the dissolver of all doubt. Every time you got a question, I'm telling you right now, you let God direct you in the word, it's there. It's already there. I don't care how personal it is in your life, the word has got the answer. Why? This ain't just some collection of random books. This was what the Almighty decided. I want to give my children the best thing I can think of. So you know what I'll do? I'll print myself on paper and hand myself to
them.
Amen.
And what do? God help us. Just sits right there. Oh my, isn't that a mighty Bible? That ain't what the Bible's given for. Christianity's not a show, it's a life.
Amen.
This Bible's supposed to come off that. It's supposed to get in here and live its way out.
Sure.
Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it was good in thy sight. And all things are delivered of me, of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever will, the Son will reveal him.
Amen.
Why? They saw the Son. They know. History will tell you Jesus was here.
Sure.
He left enough impact just in natural history that very few people deny that Jesus was on earth. They know there was a man, Jesus, here.
Sure.
But to see that him and the Father are one, you ain't going to see it unless he reveals it.
Amen.
He has to be the one. Hebrews 11. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Towards the end. Hebrews 11. It's Hebrews 1. I'm sorry. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. I'm thinking I'll say too much, I guess. Hebrews 1. Sorry, right there at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And I hope you don't interpret that as he stopped talking by the prophets. Never said that. He's just saying back then that was the only way. But now he's got a better way. That was a good covenant. And if you go back to Moses back then when he has this conference with God and things, he comes out and his face is shining. And that was a pretty good glory, but when Jesus was transfigured, his whole body was shining.
Amen.
He says, and the Bible tells us in Hebrews here, that the glory of the First Testament, it was good. But compared to what we have now, you can't even see it.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's what this message, if you get a revelation, is even compared to Pentecost in this age.
Amen.
That was a good light. My, it's good to get an airplane up in the air, but oh, you ain't even going nowhere until you get in a rocket and get off the atmosphere. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken, listen now, unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now the Son made the worlds. I thought it said God created, but I don't know. Maybe they're two different. No, they're the same person. And here, in verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory, and it's exactly what I've been saying the whole time, the expressed image of his singular person. See, God sat on the throne. But he created the angels. Listen to me now. This should give us faith unstoppable if we'll believe what I'm about to say here. He saw the angel, and he created the angels, and we know the angels worship him day and night. Holy, holy, holy. I've heard of recordings of angels and things that they don't even have to breathe. And I believe that's exactly the way it is. It's an eternal worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's something in God's heart wants satisfied. When God created everything, created an Adam in a perfect universe, and he looked down, and he saw something he didn't like. Adam's by himself. Oh, he's got animals and things. You can have friends and church members and all these things. That's not the satisfying part.
Yeah.
And God said, no, we can't stay that way. I'll make him a helpmate. I'll make him a friend. I'll make him someone that can be with him at all times.
Right.
And we know he brought the animals and turned them all down. And God said, now, God didn't learn anything. I hope you understand that. God might act like he doesn't know what's going on. what he does, okay? He knows. Remember the one time Jesus came back? He said it looked like he'd keep going on. He just wanted to hear him say it. He just wanted to hear, come on, Jesus. You want to come to our house? That's all he was waiting on.
Right.
He didn't want to leave. He was waiting on him to call you.
Yes.
Here we are. You want to hear from God? Maybe he's just waiting on you.
Right.
See, I don't feel him. Maybe he's just waiting on you to get desperate a little
yes.
bit and say, Lord, I need you.
Yes.
He was wanting to be with you the whole time.
Yes.
And God made himself flesh. We know what the Word said in this day, that all of God, all the fullness of the Godhead, the Bible is Colossians chapter 2, was in him. Actually, let me find it. Flip one page over just so you can see this. Or maybe it's not one page, but Hebrews 1:8. I'm sorry. Hebrews 1:8. Go down to verse 8. This is God still speaking. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God. Whose throne? The Son's. What did the Bible just call him? O God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't separate the Father and the Son. And here's the clinch that puts you in the picture. You can't separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We're going to have to read that too, aren't we? Turn right over there. 1 John, just a couple books after. I hope you see this as inspiration.
Yes.
1 John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are they're different expressions of God.
Yes,
absolutely. You know what? There's more than just three, too, because there's one right here. There's one right over there. There's one right here. But all of us collectively, once you say Holy Ghost, you got us all in there. Why? Because the Spirit I've received is the exact same Spirit of God that was all the way back before the foundation of the world that said, let there be.
Right.
It hovered around the earth and turned something without form and void into a Garden of Eden.
Yes.
That same God came into my soul at the age of 19 and filled me with the Holy Ghost and changed me. Why? Because the whole time I was in Him.
Amen.
When He sat on the throne and He thought these things, we were already there in Him.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes.
And when we came to earth and were expressed, He couldn't let us die because if He did, God would die.
That's right.
Look, if we're an offspring, how does any life travel? Part of that life becomes a new life.
Yes.
And if you're a son of God, I'm going to go easy.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Amen. Why? God has witnessed to me by His Spirit.
Yes.
By His Spirit coming to me. That is my witness that nobody can take away from me. I don't care what comes. I don't care what somebody thinks about me. It doesn't matter. I've already been accepted in the beloved.
Yes.
I'm grateful. I'm happy about it. And I'm allowed to see God.
Yes.
We took this text a long time ago, but how many knows who God reveals Himself to? Only to Himself.
Amen.
And that might seem baffling to you, that revelation. And you realize He's sharing this revelation with the attributes that were in
Him.
But those attributes are no longer just attributes. They become down to earth, been given a body. And here we are in the end time. Afraid we ain't going to make it. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Amen.
You tell me the devil can really be. Oh, you got him in the fourth quarter. We all know that's the worst way to lose.
Yeah.
And that's why God did it this way.
Yeah.
He put the score 1,000,000-0, left 1 second on the clock, but He is God.
Yeah.
And He knows how to score 1,000,001 in 1 second. You say that's impossible. With man, it's impossible.
Right.
But with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
We look at this world, we see this. Even in our ranks here in the mess, we say, oh my, what a mess. No, sir.
No,
sir. Why? You're looking at the wrong thing.
Right.
Sure, the devil might do this, might do that, but if you get a revelation of who God is and that you are in God and that you came from God and you're going back to God and that the whole reason God wants exists is for you to express Himself to you.
Amen.
There ain't no devil in hell can beat you.
Amen.
Come cancer, doesn't matter, won't stop you.
What?
Come your family leaving and everything else. If you've got a revelation, you and God will stand because God will make a way.
Amen.
Because He is already the way.
Yes.
Glory to God. Marie won't call me. Finish. Dad, why'd you? He knows. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Come out of church age book. This is a quote now, not out of the Bible. Let me just read this here. Listen closely now. The importance of revelation by the Spirit, not by information. You've got to receive. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, I've only got one message for you. The Bible did too. In the book of Acts, the first thing they asked, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
Yeah. That's right.
Not just believing now, but if you got something, and you know ain't just you being a good person, something that changed.
Yeah.
And everything you see is just different now. Right. And it just gives you joy in the midst of no reason to have joy.
Amen.
It gives you peace in the midst of no reason to have peace. It gives you contentment when you probably shouldn't be satisfied.
Right.
You have that.
What?
Then you need revelation more than anything.
Right.
Because once you see it, listen now, you've already packed in the power.
Right.
That was taken care of.
Right.
And the faith was already placed in you. You just need something quick in that.
Yeah.
It's what you already believe. How many believes that now?
Amen.
That what believes the word is really, I always believe.
Amen.
I know my flesh might doubt, but I'm telling you, that means I'm done. That means dead, crucified, gone, buried, no more.
Yeah.
Burn in God's holy fire. When the Holy Ghost came, he burned a path.
Amen.
And that was me.
Amen.
And I was okay with that. Because I didn't like me anyway. And even to this day, I still don't like me. Me could stay dead. Let me read a quote now. The importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized.
Amen.
People think revelation ain't something important. It's just, or some, they make it some theology. They make it some code of ethics or something you got to figure out and dig through. That ain't the way it works. And the word revelation is in the Bible. I hope you understand that. This ain't something Brother Branham made up. Paul said, I received this by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And without that, actually the book of Revelation, you read the first book, the first verse, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So obviously it's important. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation in you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Do you remember in Matthew 9 or 16 when Jesus asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? That's the important question.
Yes.
Not you hearing a minister say.
Right.
Not you reading out of the book, but you hearing God Himself come and talk to you.
Yes.
Who do you think I am?
Uh-huh.
Moses asked for God's name.
Yeah.
You see, He gave him something. He said, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am that.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Another man asked for his name, Jacob, one time. He says, huh, don't you know it's a secret? Why are you asking about my name? Not for this day yet. You're going to have to rest on I am until later.
Yeah.
And then a man came and says, I am. Bread of life. I am the door of the sheepfold. I am. And we know he said, I am, I am, I am. And then a man named Paul, as he was going down to crucify some Christians and get him killed and put him in prison, a light struck him down, the same light that met Moses and said, I am.
Yeah.
Now came to Paul, said, Paul, why persecutest thou us?
Mm-hmm.
No. Why do you persecute me? He says, Lord, who are you? Now the blood's been shed. The Holy Ghost's been given. Now you can say that. Because I am Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then had Jehovah's Witness try to come and tell me Jehovah's the name of God. Then why is the name of Jehovah bowing down to Jesus? Every name, every knee, every name under above heaven, under heaven, there's no greater name given but the name Jesus Christ. There's no name to be saved but except the name Jesus Christ. Why? It's the greatest. And when God could swear by no greater, He would have had there been someone else. He would have swore by that. Because that's how we swear by things. When you make a promise, I do it on my mother's grave. Right? You get the idea there. But God looked around. There's nothing better to swear by. I'll swear by myself, man. But I'll do this. And when he wrote the bloodline, he signed it. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, the apostle says, ha, we know that name because of right here. Let me read it now. Who do ye say that I am? And Simon Peter, it's the same man too. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm just going to read so you get an answer here. The Roman Catholics say that the church is built upon Peter. Now that is really carnal. How could God build the church upon a man so unstable that he denied the Lord Jesus and cursed while doing it? God can't build his church upon any man born in sin. And it wasn't some rock laying there as though God had hollowed the ground or at that spot. And it isn't as the Protestants say that the church is built upon Jesus. It was the revelation of who he was. Read it the way it's written. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it, but my Father hath revealed it. And upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church. The church is built on revelation, on the thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And when Peter went, the same man who just said that, he said, you're the Son of the living God, you're the Christ. And he went to baptize. He said, I know Jesus said the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, but I know that those are titles. I know his name.
Amen.
And when he baptized, Acts 2:38, you look it up yourself, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
And nowhere else was anybody in the Bible, maybe in some catechism somewhere, nobody else in the Bible was baptized a different way.
That's right.
How did Abel know what to do in order to offer a proper sacrifice to God? By faith, he received the revelation of the blood. Cain didn't get such a revelation, even though he had a commandment. Let's say this, even though he had the word, carnally, he didn't have the revelation to make it real. It was revelation, even though he had a commandment, so he couldn't offer the right sacrifice. It was a revelation from God that made the difference and gave Abel eternal life.
Hallelujah.
What Jesus said earlier in the sermon.
Amen.
Now you might take what the pastor says or what the seminary teaches, and though it might be taught to you with eloquence, until God reveals to you that Jesus is the Christ and that it is the blood that cleanses you and that God is your Savior, you will never have eternal life. It is the spiritual revelation that does it. See, revelate, it's not like some agnostic or whatever that is, where it's just some thought and that's why you're saved. No, the blood had to come. And it did. But the revelation and revelation and faith are the same thing. Once you have genuine faith, you can stand. That's the rock that Jesus is talking about. And the gates of hell can't shake you. Because why? You find yourself not on the chasm of sin.
Right. Amen.
But somebody came over across the bridge. God. Made himself man. And then he fought a way back and built the bridge back to God.
Amen.
What was it? I know it's around here somewhere. That right there. That's the only way back. The cross. Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you, Lord. Turn your eyes. Forward. Don't know it, 44. Just want to sing the chorus. Thank you, Lord. Hear God's voice tonight. Thank you, Lord. Let's take some time then. And I believe what we said tonight, not just in some haphazard way or distance. The Bible says he's not a God afar off. He's nigh thee, even in your mouth. But the thing that comes out says, hallelujah. That came from God. The devil don't say that. He'll imitate it, but he don't mean it from his heart now. But you do. Because you're a believer. Some of you just can't help it. You try to get away from God as a Christian. There ain't no business. You ain't got no business in the front. You're a Christian. Don't be a hypocrite. Be a Christian. That's what you are. Thank you, Lord. Let's do that for a little bit then here tonight. Forget about everything else. And I know it's difficult in our age. There's so much to think about. You know, I'm wrapping up college here. Lord willing, we can get done this month. Y'all keep praying for me because I know you are. We got jobs. We all got family things and obligations. And on top of that, we tend to let our mind wander on any old who knows what. I'm here tonight to tell you. Revelation's greatest moment. You can see that he's here tonight. I believe his presence just kind of swept right in there, right when I said that. You gotta believe it now for me to feel the same tonight. That's all that matters, right? Lord, just make your presence go with you. That's all I need. Maybe this bug can bust through the wall. It don't matter. I don't care what kind of sin comes in this place right now. It can't stay. If you're sick tonight, don't leave that way. It's time to look unto Jesus, the one who said, I heal all your diseases. That goes physical, mental, spiritual. I don't care what the devil's done. That goes as far as salvation. By this moment, let's take the time. Let's bow our heads. Now you're not bowing unto me. Take a moment. Dad, you just sing it, Dad. That's fine. I want you to think on this. For yourself now. You can sing them tonight. You're allowed to. The blood's come. God's not hidden anymore. The Son's revealed who He is. Look full in His face tonight. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your mistakes and sins and all that. Get away from that. Look at the Word tonight. Jesus, I believe you. Even if you find yourself wrong, and that might be you tonight, it's not the way to stay in the service. Look unto Him. You might have to do this. I don't know. The Holy Spirit's here to discern every heart. And I can say it. You have to believe it for yourself. If you're not saved tonight, if you've got doubts or frustrations, that's not the way to live as a Christian. And you need something real. Lord, I need something beyond. I've tried. I've done this. I've done that. And Lord, if I'm just looking at the wrong thing, forgive me. Maybe you feel like Moses. Lord, you gave me this big job to do. I just want to see, how am I going to do this? Be sincere with God for a little bit. Look at Him in face. Say, Lord, I might not know how this is going to work, but I'm going to talk to You because I know You can fix this. And maybe that is salvation tonight. Maybe you don't know if you're saved. Maybe you don't know if you've received the Holy Ghost. You've been born again of the Spirit of God, which is all the same thing. And you don't know. Don't stay that way tonight. You've got sin, confess it, man. Talk to Him. There's no intercessor between God and man but Jesus Christ Himself. You need to talk to Him and say, Lord, I know I'm filthy. I know my righteousness is filthy rags. I know I've made mistakes. I know I've made a mockery of myself. But I'm coming to You in faith tonight. Not haphazard. I'm coming to You with a purpose. That, Lord, I love You. I want to be a Christian, man. And I need Christ in me, or I'll never be a Christian. I'll just be a faith. Lord, can You touch my soul today with Your Spirit? Can You fill me with the Holy Ghost? And let me feel the benefits of salvation tonight. That I don't have to stay a sinner, but I can know that I know that I know that I've been saved, that I've been redeemed, and the gates of hell can't prevail. Is that soul here tonight that would lift their hand and say, Lord, that's me, but I believe. I'm not worried about my neighbor. I'm not worried about anybody. Nobody ain't looking around right now. Don't worry about that anyways. You talk to Him. Go into that presence. Go into that Shekinah glory. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want a revival? That's what we're looking for. Souls that are changed from death unto life. Souls that ain't afraid to repent of their wrongs and to make it right with God. They're not worried about some church formality, but are here to serve God in righteousness. Say, God, I've been wrong, but I believe You tonight. I believe the blood's there for me. And I'm confessing my sins. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, forgive me for what I've done wrong. Try me one more time. Fill me anew with the Holy Ghost. quicken my soul with life from heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe this is what he wants. Take time to worship him now. Worship him, friends. Worship him. Let him deliver you. You can't do it. Just believe. Just believe it with all your heart that it's the Word of God, and it's not on the pages, but it's now made manifest in the Spirit that's here right now, and he has come to this place, little rinky-dink defines Ohio Truth Tabernacle, for your soul. This God's not a brute. He's humble. He's so humble you can't get down that low, because he loves you. Took time out of governing the nations and taking care of the universe. He took his time and came here tonight. I'm not saying that of myself. The Holy Ghost, that pillar fire that you love, that God that you love, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is here in our midst right now. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he said two or three gather together in my name, I'm there, he meant it. And he's here tonight. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just take time to worship. You can sing, raise your hands, cry, pray. Just make sure you're worshiping the way you worship from your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Just turn your eyes to him now in faith. Glory to God, glory to God.
Oh, turn your eyes on
your eyes of faith.
Jesus, look for in his wonderful face and the
tonight. Oh, Dad, just sing Jesus here, so we've got a need tonight. I feel His presence right here, right now. I don't want to pray necessarily, but I want to lay hands. The Bible says we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I believe that's any sickness, anything that doesn't keep us in the glory of God. If you have something, please come forward right now. If there's any need in this place, come forward right now. We're just going to do a fast line tonight. Come believing now. Don't come haphazard. Come believing. You've got a request. You know God knows your heart. You believe once I lay hands on you that it's not Brother Andy, but it's the Word of God made manifest. And nothing needs to be said. Nothing else needs to be done. The Word's been fulfilled, and God will meet His end of the bargain here. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? We wait on you. I want each one that has any need. Don't let God or the devil talk you out of it. You've got a simple, you've got enough faith to believe. Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now here's how you approach God. Here's how you approach Him. You believe Him. You have that promise in your heart. I believe you've got a righteous thing or you wouldn't be up here right now. Not in this presence. You can't bring some filthy thing up here right now. You've got a sincere desire. And I believe it's the will of God. You have to believe it's the will of God, that He wants to do what's on your heart right now. The Bible says when we lay hands, they'll receive. They'll receive your healing. Those out there, praise God, God gave you all your needs. Now you pray for these up here. Say, Lord, let their faith not wane. May they believe this promise for themselves right now and receive what they have need. Hallelujah. I'm going to lay hands just go around here. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your request, sister. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your request. Brother Milton. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your request. Believe it now. Thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your request. Sister Carol. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your request. Brother Rossi. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your request. In the name of Jesus Christ, Brother Kim, receive your request. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your request. Suzanne, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive your request. Amen. Amen. You say, God, don't do that. Worship, worship. Start thanking Him right now. Right now. Don't do it. Don't just nod it. Say it. Lord, I believe this promise. Thank you for it. Lord, I was sick, but I'm healed. And I'm going to thank you for it. I'm going to raise my hands. I don't care, devil. I don't have it no more. Don't lie to me. I'm done with your lies. I ain't listening to that no more. You depression, I'm done with you. I ain't listening to that. I've been saved. I've been given joy unspeakable. I believe it. Devil, I'm not listening to your lies no more. I'm listening to the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh my, all things are possible. Praise your name, Lord. Worship with everything that's in you right now. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. I worship you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Father. Thank you for being here, fulfilling these needs of your people. I believe you've done everyone. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Praise your name. Worship Him in spirit. Worship Him in truth. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise. Do whatever He wants tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Express your love.
I am sorry.
Lift Him up now.
Oh,
let all doubts leave this place now. Oh,
I.
Let's all just give a big, big hand clap of praise, a big worship. Let's all.